LSU baseball bounces back while the Raging Cajuns fall to 1-3. Still very early in the campaign. Bob Marlin tries to lead his team to a Sun Belt Conference title and reach a milestone as they take on Troy on the road. The NBA gets back underway. What are the main storylines facing the association down the stretch? And we'll talk to LSU's legend for the SEC basketball tournament today, Thursday, February 22nd, 2018.
Go, and this one a line drive off the glove of Jacob McFadden at first with a roll into foul territory in right field. Coming in to score will be Cabrera. They'll go ahead and send Bain. The ball just now coming in. Duplantis sliding safely into third on a smoke line drive to the first base side. In the field. Here's a ground ball just inside the third base bag, right down the line. Through second base as Bryce Jordan rolls all the way to the wall. Bryce will come in to score. How about another RBI? This one with a double down the line at third. Two outs. It's 11-5 LSU.
In all honesty, I thought that UNO's pitching was every bit as good as Notre Dame's pitching, and yet we didn't hit Notre Dame's pitching, and tonight I thought we swung the bats with great aggressiveness and great confidence, but that was not a lousy pitching staff we faced. Every guy we faced was 88 to 90, 91 miles an hour.
Hey, good afternoon, kiddos, and welcome. Hey, Paul, the pitching arms are going to get better and better as the season gets longer and longer. Good afternoon and welcome. You heard Chris Blair talking about LSU as they bounce back to beat UNO last night 14-6 to improve to 2-2 on the season. We'll recap that much, much more. Good afternoon and welcome on a Thursday. Hope everybody's having a great day. Thanks so much for making us a part of it. My main man, CD, back in the master control suite in the ShopRite Tobacco Plus studios on the campus of KLWB, home of 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's number one sports station. We're here live and in living color and ready to go. We got a good list of guests today. We'll talk LSU basketball with the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network that you can listen to right here on 103.7 The Game, John Brady. Will join us today. We'll talk about the Tigers and the surprise season that they're having. How pivotal Saturday's game against Georgia is to keep their postseason hopes, dreams, anticipations alive. And we'll delve into that. Plus, John is the LSU legend that will embark to St. Louis and take part of the festivities at the SEC tournament. Lynn Rollins will join us in hour number two. Lynn is the play-by-play voice on the SEC Plus Network. All these LSU baseball games, he and Ben McDonald bringing you the call of the games. We'll get his impression of this LSU baseball team. And you don't have to go very far to see what the problems are. Starting pitching, again, the highly anticipated debut of right-hander Cam Sanders. Didn't go anywhere near what both Cam, Paul Maneri, and Alan Dunn thought it would be. Cam unfortunately hit the first batter he faced. He walked the next one. He ended up exiting after allowing three runs on two hits before ever recording an out. So, again, pitching, starting pitching. It is wide open for whoever wants to seize the opportunity, to seize the moment. And you could be a starting pitcher on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday for LSU in one of the most, if not the most, competitive league in all of college baseball. So we'll talk to Lynn Rollins about that. And then we'll find out, is the Spurs-Kawhi Leonard relationship fixable? Grant Hughes, our NBA feature reporter for Bleacher Report, will join us from the West Coast. and we'll talk all things about a playoff format. Does he favor reseeding? Who are the favorites? Are there more than two or three teams that are viable title contenders? Is Golden State nervous about Houston? Maybe are they nervous about Oklahoma City? And who are the favorites coming out of the East? Is it LeBron yet again? Or does Toronto have a legit shot at advancing to the NBA Finals out of the East? We'll talk all those things with Grant Hughes. How about that? We are presented each and every day by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinic of Louisiana, right there on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway, the number one aesthetic medicine practice in the entire United States of America. Seriously, better than Los Angeles, better than Las Vegas, better than New York, Chicago, all those major, major markets. The very best is right there in Lafayette on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Believe it or not, they've got the hardware to prove it. Dr. Todd Howell, Dr. Stuart Caton, the best in the business. No reason to feel older, look older than you are. Let the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinic be your age-defying clinic. Go to their website, theantiagingclinics.com, and see the variety of services they can provide for you. I'm a client, hormone replacement therapy. Man, I was sluggish, didn't sleep well at night. I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? Well, studied up on it, went, got a free consultation with them, and they, you know, your hormones start to get out of whack when you get about 30, 35 years old, men and women alike. Nothing to be alarmed about, but they can improve it. One little blood sample, they analyze it. Hey, this is where you're deficient, and we can help you here, here, and here, and get you back up to normal. And normal means you're younger, feeling younger than you are. It's an age-defying clinic. Simple, easy, painless, affordable, and it works. I'm a living testimony. It can work for you as well. Go to theantiagingclinics.com and see for yourself. It's always a free consultation. You'll really, really feel, look better. It's really awesome. Really is. All right, we'll take our first timeout. Well, no, we've got a little bit more time here. A little bit more time. So, again, oh, by the way, on an anniversary of one of the single greatest moments in sports history, along the same lines in the same sport, Team USA, women's ice hockey team, did basically the unthinkable and beat the juggernaut known as Canada. Canada had won four consecutive Olympic gold medals. They were winners of something like 24 straight games. They were unbeatable. Unbeatable. Until earlier this morning when Team USA won in a shootout on a beautiful little dink, dunk score, top shelf. And then they the goalkeeper saved a goal after that, and Team USA wins it, caused a big, big celebration. And we'll see what that does as far as female hockey around this country, because it's gotten a lot of play and a lot of plugs. So terrific. Congratulations to Team USA women's ice hockey. Terrific. Terrific. Got it done. Got it done. So we'll also touch on today Bob Marlin and the Raging Cajuns. They're got to take on Troy tonight in hoops. And Bob Marlin with 499 career wins, a win tonight obviously gives him that that milestone of 500. With a win tonight, the Raging Cajuns will win its first Sun Belt Conference regular season title since 1999 and 2000. So it opens up its final road trip of the regular season tonight against Troy at Trojan Arena. How about that? 13-1 overall, 20 in Sun Belt Conference play, 23-4 overall. Holy cow. Cajuns have a three-game lead over second-place Georgia State. They can also claim the title outright with a win and a loss by the Panthers at Texas State. The Raging Cajuns can establish a new school record for most wins in Sun Belt Conference play with a win. And, again, Bob Marlin, one win shy of his 500th career victory. We'll get Bob on the program tomorrow. 25 seasons as a head coach. He's 499 and 276 overall. He won 123 games at Pensacola Junior College, 225 at Sam Houston State, and 151 and counting at Louisiana. How about that? They'll close out the regular season road trip at South Alabama on Saturday. So, golden opportunity. Troy is 7-7 in league play. The Raging Cajuns are a much better ball club, and they should win this thing. They lead in the series history 15-6. In Troy, they lead 6-2. They're going to get this thing done. And Bob Marlin is going to have 500 wins, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow on a very happy, happy Friday. Quick timeout, Olympic update, and more of the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station. Be proud of it. Welcome back, kiddos. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks so much for making us a part of it. Phone lines are open, 337-706-0111. If you've got a pain or a sprain, Moro Physical Therapy can get you back in your game. Look, you love being outdoors. The weather's turned out nice. It's time to get out, hit that tennis ball, hit the golf ball, walk the dog, jog a little bit, ride a bike, whatever it is that you'd like to do. But you got a sprain or a pain, you want to get back in the game, Moro Physical Therapy, with all the latest technology, all the very best equipment, they've got it all there for you. But what sets them apart, they're like a great coach. They're Bill Belichick and Nick Saban and Mike Krzyzewski all rolled up into one. They're going to come up with a game plan for you and only you. And then they're going to motivate you, push you and drive you so that you reach your ultimate goal. And that goal is to get back to your active lifestyle. Plain and simple. Moro, MOREAUPT.com. Moro Physical Therapy with offices in Lafayette, Opelousas, and Port Barry. I have one of our callers, one of our listeners. He always gets on me because sometimes I say Port Barry. And he always sends me a text that says it's Port Barry. So I got it down. I got it now forever, forever and ever ingrained in my mind. Port Barry, even though it's spelled B-A-R-R-E. Port Barry. All right. 706-0111. Augusta, right around the corner. Tiger Woods has to keep playing golf. He's got to keep playing. He's at Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, for the Honda Classic at PGA National. And Tiger Woods described it as his best ball-striking round in his admittedly brief comeback. Tiger overcame a double bogey to shoot even par 70. Blustery, tricky, windy conditions. Quote, I'm very pleased. Today was not easy. It's going to get more difficult because these greens are not the best. It was tough all around today. The wind was playing really hard. The rough's up. And it's really tough to make putts out there. Woods is playing his fourth tournament and third in 2018 since returning from spinal fusion surgery 10 months ago. He hit just 7 of 14 fairways. Some of them weren't off by much. He hit 10 of 18 greens in regulation. That's better than he was a week ago when he was all over the place. Four everywhere. The good part is Woods needed only 25 putts. He scrambled for par 6 times. When he finished his round, he was 4 strokes behind the leader. So the golf world continues to watch Tiger Woods. He had one bad hole, the par 5 third. His driver off the tee found a fairway bunker. From there, he had to lay up. He knocked a 6 iron in the greenside bunker. Played it onto the fringe, chipped 4 feet by the hole, missed his bogey putt, got a double bogey 7. So that was his one bad bad hole in the round, but still, it makes for better golf if Tiger gets better and gets good, and if he gets in contention. That's all we can ask for in the world of golf. It's all we can ask for. So there you have it. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've watched much of these Olympics or not. I wish, in my mind, since it's the Winter Olympics, why can't they have indoor track and field? Think about that. We have it in the Summer Olympics, but it's an outdoor season. Why can't all these schools, LSU's fixing to go to College Station, Texas, for the SEC Indoor Championship meet? I think track and field indoors in the Winter Olympics would be great. I think it'd be great. I really do. Basketball's a winter game, too. Why don't they have basketball at the Winter Olympics? It's a summer Olympic game, but it's really a winter sport. Anyway, they'd never do that because it would mess up with the NBA, which, by the way, gets back into action tonight, and the Pelicans get back to action on Friday night with the Miami Heat. And a lot of things happening in the NBA. And I think you got two teams in the West with another team on the outside that's going to scare a lot of people. And that team is Oklahoma City. If Westbrook, Paul George, and a little bit of Carmelo Anthony, along with Steven Adams, if they play well, if they put it all together, that's a scary, scary team and a tough team to beat. But I do believe that Houston presents a legitimate threat to the Golden State Warriors. Legitimate threat. Because they are virtually unstoppable offensively with the league MVP in James Harden running away with things. I don't think anyone can catch him with the numbers he's putting up and the consistency in which he has done it. So I think Golden State has some worries on their plate. I think Houston presents the biggest challenge to Golden State since they've made this run in the past three seasons, going for their fourth NBA Finals appearance in 4 years. I think this presents their biggest challenge by far, having to play Houston. Now, Houston has to prove it. The last time we saw James Harden in the playoffs, he was not only bad, he was awfully bad, awfully bad. And in the East, Toronto's one of those teams. They're playing very, very well, but they've got to prove it to me as well. The regular season's one thing. Playoffs is a whole another thing. I got my money on Cleveland. I don't see Toronto beating LeBron four games. I just don't. Not with the horses he's got with him now. And they can run, they can jump, they can shoot, and they can defend. And that's the one thing that they've gotten better at is having talent on the defensive end. Guys that are hungry, that actually are craving an opportunity for the first time in their career to get to an NBA Finals. And that means an awful lot, an awful lot. Some of those players on the Cavs became content, fat, happy. We can turn it on when it happens, and it just didn't work. So they cleared house, brought some new fresh players in with good attitudes. And they've taken off. And we'll see how this college season of the NBA plays out. I think it's going to be terrific. And what do the Pelicans do? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Anthony Davis is terrific and can carry a team. But for how many games? How much pressure on that kid to get it done, to put up big numbers? As he said, I got to get 40 and 15 rebounds a night for us to have a chance to win. That says an awful lot. You don't lose a player the magnitude of DeMarcus Cousins and have other people. We said that at the time. Nobody's going to pick up that slack. You're going to have to get it collectively, but that hasn't been the case either. Now, Jrue Holiday has certainly stepped up his game. And we'll see who else does down the stretch. They're in the playoffs as we speak. Can they stay there, remain there? Only time will tell. Our best wishes to Tom Benson, the owner of the Pels. In the hospital, intensive care unit with flu-like symptoms. He's 90 years young, and that starts to happen. And you have to be very, very careful and very, very cautious. So prayers to Mr. Benson, who at one point in time was vilified in this state and then became a hero again with all the improvements that he's done, buying the Pelicans, building facilities, changing the landscape of downtown New Orleans. Pretty darn good. All right, we'll take a timeout here at 27 minutes and some change after the hour on this Thursday, February 22nd. When we come back, John Brady will join us. We'll talk LSU hoops here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Stay with us. Right, welcome back, kiddos. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, again, brought to you in part by Moro Physical Therapy. Get back in the game. If you've got a pain or a sprain, let Moro Physical Therapy get you back to your active lifestyle. Port Barry, Opelousas, and in Lafayette, the Moro family for over 44 years now have been doing this one thing. They get great joy and pleasure in helping you rehab, recover, recoup, and get back out there and do what you love to do. So trust the best. Go to the best. Moro Physical Therapy. Moro Physical Therapy. We are waiting on John Brady. Busy, busy man. We're going to get him here in just a second. And we'll talk LSU basketball. Last night, Auburn, man, a close game at the half and with Alabama. And Auburn just blew them out of the water. Man, I'm going to tell you what, when they get going, that's a scary, scary team. Tennessee gets a win over Florida yet again. So the SEC race is still up for grabs. Auburn still in the driver's seat. But a lot of games, well, not that many games, just three games left to go. And LSU right in the thick of things. Auburn is 12-3. Tennessee is 10-5. Mississippi State, Kentucky, Arkansas, Missouri, and Florida, and Alabama are 8-7, and LSU 7-8. So theoretically, I mean, they're not out of the woods of getting into third place if they can take care of their business in these next few games. Kind of remarkable, and I kind of like the fact that the SEC tournament is moving around a little bit. Get it away from Atlanta once and for all. Helping out Missouri a little bit. So they're going up to that major city known as St. Louis for basketball. And that'll be great. And St. Louis people will come out and watch that. They'll watch it. That was a good basketball city. Of course, Bob Pettit got his start. St. Louis Hawks back in the day. I feel sorry for St. Louis because they lost basketball. They lost football. It's a baseball town now. Make no mistake about it. The Cardinals rule the roost. But you talk about a city who's had some things and lost it. That's St. Louis. But they'll get the SEC basketball tournament this year. I'm looking forward to the year when the tournament comes to New Orleans and gets to play in the Smoothie King Center. That'll be fun. That'll be great. And I hope that's sooner rather than later. But this SEC race is up for grabs, and it's kind of remarkable what the job that Bruce Pearl has done with a team that was part of that FBI investigation, still is, but they just keep shooting. They just keep shooting, and they're basically unbeatable at home. They're 14-1 at home. So look out. LSU next plays Georgia. The Bulldogs are 10-3 at home. Then they play South Carolina. The Gamecocks are 9-5 at home. LSU with a one-game lead on both of those teams. LSU 7-8 in the conference. South Carolina at 6-9. So winnable, doable games. But as quickly as we can say they can win these games, it's equally as quick they can lose these games. So we shall see. But when you got Trey Waters doing his thing and playing under control and running the show and not relying solely on a three-point shot but getting to the rim and creating things not only for himself but for his teammates, who are now much better at moving into open spaces when Waters is driving to the lane. They're kind of understanding. If you move and get open, there's a chance that the leading assist, all-time leading assist freshman in LSU basketball history will find you. So it's taken time for this team to learn. It's taken time for this team to understand one another, to mature together. And now they're a pretty dangerous ball club. Pretty dangerous ball club. Now, they're really good when they shoot the ball well. They're really, really good. And, you know, I've always said this. I don't believe in good defense leads to offense. I don't believe that anymore in basketball. I think good offense leads to good defense. When you're seeing that ball go through the net, your defensive output becomes all the better. All the better. Well, it looks like we're not having any luck with John Brady today, but that's okay. If the opportunity presents itself, we will we'll get him. But in the meantime, we'll press onward. Phone lines are open, 706-0111, 706-0111. Still to come, I know we're going to get Lynn Rollins on. We're going to talk LSU baseball with him. I know we're going to get Alan Michael on and do some hot topics in hour number two. And I know we're going to talk with Grant Hughes about the NBA. I'm fascinated with this NBA race. And to see, once again, everything centers around the universe that is LeBron and the universe that is Golden State and how they will we'll see if we have back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings between the two of those in the playoffs. We'll see. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Boy, you talk about a sports fan. Frankie's great, and he knows some stuff. And he loves the Cajuns, the Tigers, the Saints, and the Pels. He loves them. He loves them. They got all kinds of paraphernalia, all kinds of memorabilia, all kinds of trinkets. They got a little bit of everything inside those four walls and under that roof. It's amazing. Not to mention all the snacks and beverages you could ever, ever imagine. And he's got that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Best cheeseburger this mouth has ever tasted. But you know, don't take my word for it. Try it. If you haven't, boy, you're missing out. If you have, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's just, you talk about finger licking, knuckle sucking good. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon. I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. And right behind that is D.C.'s Lucky Capital. Try your luck. In moderation, be smart. Who knows? You may win. You may win. That's D.C.'s Lucky Capital and D.C.'s Little Capital. Exxon I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Excuse me. Had a little sneeze there. CD's back in the master control suite, 337-706-0111, 337-706-0111. Now I know what it's like for a quarterback. When he comes up to the line of scrimmage and you're playing Alabama and you got a play call, you go, uh-oh, that's not going to work. Check, check, check. We got to come up with something else, and that clock is ticking. That clock is ticking. That clock is ticking. So I'm sure something came up with John that we aren't able to get him, but we press on. This is called ad-libbing and just moving on. That's what you got to do sometimes in this business. Again, if you're just joining us, LSU's Football Pro Day for NFL prospects is set for April the 4th. It'll be televised by the SEC Network. LSU has 10 players scheduled to participate in the NFL Scouting Combine. That's February 27th, just around the corner, through March the 5th in Indianapolis. And the Pro Day, of course, will provide another chance for the NFL teams to meet with the prospects and some others. So LSU's got, according to whatever draft report you follow, as upwards of three players who are potential first-round picks: Darius Geis, the running back, edge rusher Arden Key, and cornerback Dante Jackson. Other players invited to the combine: DJ Chark, center Will Clapp. Surprise, but quarterback Danny Etling invited to the combine. That surprised me. Good for him. Good for him. He's got a chance to get drafted or be a free agent and hook up with a team and maybe get a career out of this thing. Offensive lineman K.J. Malone, cornerback Kevin Tolliver, offensive lineman Toby Weathersby, and running back Darrell Williams. Now, several other players weren't invited to the combine, but their pro day will be even more significant, and that's Christian Lacouture from the defensive line, along with Greg Gilmore and Frank Heron, wide receiver Russell Gage, fullback tight end J.D. Moore, and linebackers Corey Thompson and Donnie Alexander. So the SEC Network looking for program. They're going to televise all 14 SEC Pro Day events, and it starts real soon. Alabama first on the docket on March the 7th. So we know about that. We also know that the SEC has announced the schedule for football media days this year, which will take place at a new venue. Finally, it's away from Birmingham. This is going to be cool. It's going to take place at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, July 16th through the 19th. Yeah. How about that? I love it. The Omni Hotel at CNN Center, which is connected to the Hall of Fame, is the host hotel for the event, and that will house Radio Row and other media interviews and activities. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. So the SEC always at the forefront of this. They always are the first conference to get this thing going. And right out the gate on that Monday, July 16th, three teams: Kentucky with Mark Stoops, Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher, and Ed Orgeron and LSU will get out the gate quickly on Monday. On Tuesday, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss. Three schools, three out of the four with new coaches. Chad Morris at Arkansas, Dan Mullen moves from state to Florida, and Matt Luke removes the interim tag and is the full-time head coach at Ole Miss. On Wednesday, July 18th, Alabama, Mississippi State with their new head coach, Joe Moorhead, Missouri, and Tennessee with their new head coach, Jeremy Pruitt. And finally, on Thursday, getaway wrap-up day, Auburn, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. When Derek Mason and Vanderbilt start talking, there won't be hardly a soul there except those from Nashville. It'll be getaway day. So I'm thrilled. Ed Orgeron, first up, get it done, get it over with, create some excitement, and move on. And then we'll know, who the SEC media participants predict as to who will be the SEC champion and the order of finish for the coming season. Remember, only six times in the last 25 seasons has the SEC Media Days predicted the champion to proceed to win the SEC championship, two of which occurred in the last 4 years. So their record's not very sterling, to say the least. But new venue, that's great. All this Alabama bias might finally get out the window, and they're going to Atlanta and the Hall of Fame. I think it's a great, great change. Well done, Commissioner Sankey. Well done, SEC. Get that thing away from Birmingham and Hoover, Alabama, and let's move it someplace else. Good deal. All right. 46 minutes after the hour, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we'll see. Maybe we can get John Brady before it's all said and done. Maybe. We'll see. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And thrilled to have John Brady, the color analyst, on the LSU Sports Radio Network to talk a little LSU basketball. John, first off, thanks for the time and congratulations on being LSU's legend for the upcoming SEC basketball tournament in St. Louis. Congrats.
Well, I appreciate that, Jordy. You know, and I apologize. I couldn't get off the phone with somebody else, talk too long. But I appreciate that. You know, about 2 weeks ago, Will Wade and Kent Lowe, I was sitting on the plane. We were about to fly to play somebody somewhere. And right before we took off, they came down the aisle, and Kent Lowe looked at me kind of serious. He says, "Coach, we need to talk to you about something." And the first thing that popped in my brain is I looked at Coach Wade and I said, "Did I say something stupid on the radio?" but then they said, "No, we'd like you to represent LSU in the SEC tournament as the LSU legend this year." And, you know, Jordy, you know what LSU meant to you. And when they said that, I kind of got emotional there for a brief moment. You know, it just swells up in your chest. And
sure.
And I had to get over that a little while, and I said I'd be honored to, and I really appreciate it, and I'm actually humbled by it. So that's how that came down, and I'm excited about it, looking forward to it, and appreciate Will Wade for okaying it, and you know, the administration for letting me do it. So it's been really good, and I'm excited about it.
Well, you're one of three coaches, Harry Rabenhorst, Dale Brown, and yourself, to take LSU to a Final Four, so well-deserved. Speaking of LSU basketball, I think it's remarkable that we're here late February and we're talking about an LSU basketball team that won two league games a year ago, lost 15 straight, and there is a remote possibility, if things fall the right way, that this team could quite possibly be an NCAA tournament team. But I think regardless, we'll be a postseason tournament team somewhere. Kind of remarkable.
I think there's no question about it. I think you're exactly right. And, you know, you never know what may happen these last three games. Now, Georgia will be tough on the road, as will South Carolina, because South Carolina particularly, because they're going to defend really well at home. You come back with Mississippi State, you know, who's won 7 out of 8 games the Bulldogs have, and that game could be for something really significant. But even yep. with that being said, I still think LSU needs to go to the SEC tournament. Let's say LSU wins 2 of the next 3. I still think they need to go to the SEC tournament and at least win a game to be considered for an at-large team. But, hey, I'm with you, Jordy. You're exactly right. For us to be having that discussion, and then I think there'll be no question with their RPI and the way it's rising after the top 30-some-odd teams are taking an NCAA tournament, that we will certainly be in the top 65 to get an NIT bid. So I think it's remarkable what this team has done. Will Wade and his coaching staff have been outstanding, and you've got to compliment the players. I don't want to forget the players in this, too. With what they've gone through to what they're playing for now, you know they've got to feel good about themselves.
As a coach, what have you seen from the start of the season to now? Where has this team made the most improvement in your eyes?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think they're not as good as they need to be defensively, but certainly I think they're better. At times, they're really good. I think they haven't learned to sustain the defensive effort for 40 minutes. When they do that, certainly I think that the field goal stat of the opponent will go down, which really enhances your chances to win. But I think where this team has really improved is really on the offensive end. They're shooting the ball almost 47-48% as a team. The other night, Jordy, the other night against Vanderbilt, the second half, they shoot 72% from the 3-point line, 73% mm-hmm. from the 2-point line, and 74% from the free throw line.
You're going to win some games that, right?
Yeah, I don't care what kind of defense you play.
Thank you.
You're going to beat some people doing that.
Yes.
So I think offensively they've improved throughout the course of the year, and they're better defensively. So it's really a remarkable thing. They don't have a great postman, although Reese, I think, may be as improved a player in the Southeastern Conference as you can find. And certainly the addition of Tremont Waters. And when he's really right, as he was the other night, our team is a whole lot better than when other teams cause problems for him.
He looks a lot fresher now for whatever reason. He's got a little spring in his step. But we saw Georgia earlier in the season. It was a close ball game. Their big made the big shot down the stretch. What does LSU have to do on the road against a team that they've got a better record than? LSU 7-8, Georgia 6-9. Certainly a winnable game, but certainly a tough game ahead of them.
Well, they can't let anybody from Georgia do something uncharacteristic of what they've done. Like, they can't have a player make 7 or 8 threes that hadn't made more than 2 in a game all year long. And then they have to put their emphasis defensively on their big fella around the goal, doubling, do some things to make him uncomfortable when he catches the basketball. You know, to make the big player that averages 19 a game, first team preseason all league, make him a passer and not a scorer, try to make him a playmaker. And I think if they can do that, limit him a little bit, I think they'll be fine.
We're out of time, man. That's the shortest interview ever. Can I call you Legend from now on?
No, man. I just call me Jamie. That'll be fine, Jordy.
John, you're the best. You're the best. Thank you, buddy. Take care. Safe travels.
Thank you. All right. Okay.
All right. John Brady, LSU, Georgia, this Saturday right here on 103.7 The Game. Hour number one is history. We're back with more on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana Sports Station. Hour number two of two, and away we go, brought to you by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinic of Louisiana. Let them be your age-defying clinic and let you become the best you can possibly become. Yes, indeed. Busy second hour planned, and we always get things started as we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, push that button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
The NBA gets back into action, the stretch run, and so much more to talk about. Let's bring in, for his daily dosage, Alan Michael for some Hot Topics. Good afternoon, Alan.
Good afternoon, Jordy. USA all the way. How about the ladies' hockey team?
Yes. Oh, Canada. See you later, finally.
Finally exercising the Canadian demon, Jordy. But I have to ask you about the Canadian superstar hockey player who ripped the silver medal off of her neck. Is she the biggest sore loser of all time?
Absolutely. Come on. Come on. The only time I remember is when the USA basketball team, Doug Collins and company, when they were robbed by the Russians, wouldn't accept the silver medal. But come on. Come on.
Oh, but
Jordy, don't be a sore loser.
She probably lives by the old Ricky Bobby adage. If you're not first, you're last. So she ripped it off her neck. I don't blame her. That's a tough, tough pill to swallow for Canada. But you better take it and deal with it, because the U.S. are the gold medalists this
Champions.
Time around, baby. All right, Jordy, now I want to go to the NBA and ask you about Kawhi Leonard. I want to know, Kawhi, he's not coming. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that terrible pun. But Kawhi Leonard opts not to return, Jordy, to the Spurs due to his quad injury, his shoulder injury. He's banged up. Even though the doctor said it's up to you now to go play basketball, you could call it now. He said, nah, probably not going to play this season. If Kawhi Leonard was on the Spurs this season, Jordy, would they make this a three-team race in the West?
Good possibility. It just makes me kind of wonder what in the Sam Hill's going on there with a team that you never see stuff like this happening. Is there a rift between Kawhi and Pop? And is this the end of Kawhi and the San Antonio Spurs? Wow, I don't know. We'll see.
I definitely think he's going to be all gravy with Greg Popovich, Jordy. I don't know. Remember any player ever not enjoying playing for him. I think he's just legitimately banged up. We saw a recent video of him walking up and he looked like he could hardly move. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, that really changes the complexion of the West. And really great news for Golden State and Houston here as we get the second half of the season underway. And in the future, Jordy, in the playoffs, we might be seeing a little different format. Adam Silver is saying that he's looking into changing the format either to maybe a complete 1 through 16 seeding or with basically negating conferences, or maybe they're even saying they're contemplating having the last few seeds determined by a mini tournament. Jordy, do you want to see a change to the NBA playoff format?
I would love to see them do seeding, and if that were the case right now, the Pelicans would be the 15th seed out of 16 teams, and they'd have to play the Golden State Warriors in round number one. I would love to see the best two teams get through it. And in the NBA, the best format of 4 out of 7 games, you normally get that. It'd be fun to see Houston and Golden State play this year, wouldn't it? I think. So I'm all for it. Changes for the good. Yes, let's do it.
I agree, Jordy. I mean, divisions are basically obsolete. So why not make conferences obsolete? Go all the best 16 is fine by me. They should do that in MLB. They should do that, yep. I think, across the board, except probably the NFL. I think their playoff is a little too exciting to change. But
yes,
lots of rule changes, lots of format changes in every single league all the time this day and age, Jordy. It can be a little overwhelming, hard to keep up with. I am kind of fed up with most of it. I'm definitely not looking forward to this MLB change that they're trying to consider, which would be eliminating batting orders in the 9th inning, Jordy. Rob Manfred saying they might get rid of batting orders, meaning a manager could say, well, it's the 9th inning, I'm putting my best three guys out there. That's almost making the 9th inning like a shootout, Jordy. Your best guys go out there and gun for it. Do you like that?
I think that would make people stay in their seats. I mean, just imagine if you're the Yankees. 9th inning. Okay, we're going to send Justice and Stanton back up to bat. Yeah. Okay. Let's see what happens now. I'm not that opposed to it. I'm really not.
I'm
call me crazy, but
vehemently opposed
I like
to this,
it.
Jordy. No. What is with all the changes, baseball? It's the perfect game. It's America's pastime. We never have to change anything about this game. It's flawless. People aren't leaving in the 9th inning if the game's close. What's this going to do? Well, nothing. What are the mounds?
It's going to add excitement. It's going to make the 9th inning important.
Did you
Beer
see
sales
the World
will continue.
Series? Jordy, do you need to add any more excitement to what Astros and Dodgers just gave us? It was unbelievable. Oh, Rob
it
Manfred.
Was.
What are you doing to my beloved
He's
baseball
He's trying to keep
game.
Up with Adam Silver.
He
Come
is.
On. He wants to be the most creative, innovative commissioner on the block. That's what he's trying to
and
do.
And also, don't forget Roger Goodell making tweaks to the rules every single year as well, Jordy. This is just way too
but
much
your boy
for
Vince
me.
McMahon may take the cake. He's back.
And the XFL is going to trump them all, Jordy. They're going to change the rules completely every single year. And you have to be on your toes, fans. Lordy. Well, just like you have to be on your toes when you're watching an LSU baseball lineup, Jordy. That changes week to week. Rotation changes week to week. We're going to have Hess and Gilbert swapping Friday and Saturday this week, according to Paul Maneri. My question to you, Jordy, is what does Paul Maneri do if the starters go out this weekend and have a bad outing just like last weekend? What's next?
He goes to the student body and says, has anybody out there ever played baseball and pitched? Because we ain't got nothing here right now. I don't know what he does. I think, you know, he's tweaking there, trying to come up with something. And I think he believes in Zach Hess enough that wants to get out the gate quickly. It's a whole different ball game, as you know, coming in the 9th inning or starting off in the 1st inning. It's a whole different scenario. So maybe Hess will be more inclined to deliver in his second opportunity after getting the kinks. I don't know what the answer is. But so far, 4 up, 4 down, 4 bad performances. The poor kid last night, just he couldn't get an out. He couldn't get an out.
Poor Cam.
They were
Sanders.
3-0. He couldn't get an out. He's gone. Done. History. So I don't know what Paul's going to do.
Yeah, LSU fans also need to cool it because I had someone, I think, I'm going to blame our caller on my show earlier this week, Jordy. Our friend Tim, he called and said, what if Cam Sanders goes out there and has like an 8-inning great outing? Will they throw him in this weekend? I said, whoa, hold your horses. LSU's got to find one pitcher first. They don't have anything right now in terms of starting rotation, Jordy. But it's only one weekend and we can't panic just yet, but after this week in Texas, tough test.
We'll know a lot more, and there may be time to really start to panic. If it goes like it did last weekend, this weekend, then it's time to really start to panic.
And it will bring new meaning to the phrase Johnny Holstaff, Jordy.
Johnny, I hate that. I hate that.
Jordy, I want to end with a big signing in the NFL today. Have to ask your opinion on this. The Colts signing one of the greatest players of all time to a one-year deal. That's Adam Vinatieri, Jordy. That God. I can't believe this geezer's still playing football. He is a kicker, though. Is he the greatest?
Is he older than Brady?
I think he is, Jordy. He's the oldest player in the league. Most gray hair. Is he the greatest kicker ever, though?
Oh, I tell you what. He might just have to be. How many clutch kicks has he made in his career to win Super Bowls and to win playoff games? I vote Adam Vinatieri number one, yes.
And probably inducted into the Hall of Fame one day, if you ask me.
No question. No question. No question. You're a Hall of Famer in my book, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
As always, highlight of my day, Hot Topics with Alan Michael, brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet. That is Cajun Chef, the Biard family for over 80 years right there in St. Martinville, a tradition unlike any other. Finest spices, finest peppers. Put it all together, voila, you've got Cajun Chef. And do like we do, bring a little small bottle with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Grant Hughes talking NBA, but first, after this timeout, LSU baseball talk. Lynn Rollins, the voice of the SEC Network, plus calls of the LSU Tiger games. We'll be right back here on 103.7 The Game.
Get ready for the next 106.3 session.
Welcome back, boys and girls. LSU baseball gets a win over UNO, and now a highly anticipated weekend series awaits as the Texas Longhorns come to town. If you listen or watch on the SEC Network Plus, you'll always hear the great voice of the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Lynn Rollins, who will be inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame later on this year. And we're thrilled to have him on the program today. Lynn, thanks for the time, my friend. And again, congratulations on a very well-deserved honor.
It's very humbling, and I am most appreciative. And I deeply thank you for mentioning it. And It's a pleasure to be with you, Jordy. We've been talking about this for a while, and I'm delighted to be able to have the chance to speak with you.
Well, that's terrific. You've had a chance. You've been up for the best seat in the house to watch LSU baseball through four games this season. They're two up and two down. They lost two out of three to Notre Dame. They beat UNO. So kind of give me a ballpark figure of what your thoughts are about this LSU baseball team very early on this journey this season.
Well, you're right. It's 4 of 56 during the regular season that has been played. But the concerning thing, and I think there's a lot of head-scratching going on, quite honestly, among the LSU Brain Trust, and that is what has transpired with the first four starting pitchers. And on paper, these are supposed to be your best guys. Cam Sanders didn't last out of the first inning last night, didn't record a batter, didn't record an out. And when you take all four of the starting pitchers this year, and this is very unlike LSU, 11 innings of work from the four starters, 11 walks, that's been a big problem, 21 base hits, 3 hit batters, and 20 runs scored. That's about as unlike LSU starting pitching as you can possibly get. So, yes, it's only one outing, but to have all four of the guys turn in very disappointing performances to get the season started is certainly a point of concern. Now, they'll get a chance to right that very quickly. We expect to see Gilbert, Hess, and Peterson again against the Texas Longhorns tomorrow night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. But I can't remember a collective start like that among the four LSU starters. So obviously a lot of answers still to come there.
For the first time in I don't know how many years, you don't have that one guy that you know, oh, okay, we can count on this guy, whether it's Lang or Nola or whoever. They just don't have that guy right now.
I think that's a very fair statement. Both Caleb Gilbert and Zach Hess have been excellent in their times out of the bullpen. But starting is a different role, and they'll have to grow into it and see how they can adjust into it. And when you look at last year, for example, with Lang and Jared Poche, you could count on 20 victories between those two at the end of the season, and could do that for the last two or three years. I'm not so sure right now LSU has players of that caliber who can make those marks. But there are options. There are a couple of well-thought-of young folks that are going to be getting eligible, still some weeks away, but it's going to help. I'm not so much concerned, actually, about the pitching as I am the offense, even though I just quoted you those numbers from the starters so far. I think there's some work to be done offensively, and I think there's some potential there to do it.
Okay, now let's talk about that then, because, they needed a grand slam and a three-run homer to win the opener. Then Notre Dame kind of stymied them. They erupted against UNO for 14 runs. What is your concern there? Is it the lack of timely hitting? What is it?
Well, let's start with something on the very positive side. Bo Jordan, who is a warrior and a gamer, is off to a very nice start. He's got five base hits on the year. They've all been for extra bases, three doubles and a couple of home runs. He's driven in three. Brant Broussard has been a nice surprise at second base. He's 4-for-10 and doing very nicely defensively. But after that, LSU has no 300 hitters. And the team is batting 250 or so after four games. It was hitting just a little above 200 in the series against Notre Dame. And trust me, Notre Dame did not throw three Cy Young Award winners out there.
Right.
I mean, this is a team that was picked to finish last in the ACC again this year. There are some concerns offensively. Jake Slaughter has got to get going. I think he's got some potential, but he's a guy who was really streaky last year. He does have extra base power and can be a feared hitter, but he's going to have to develop some consistency and make more contact. Antoine Duplantis, I think, is it's a pretty comfortable bet that he'll hit over 300. Zach Watson is injured at the moment. We don't think it's serious. He twisted something or pulled something yesterday in batting practice and had to be scratched from the lineup. You could make the case that he was LSU's best returning hitter, but we expect him to be back. However, of much more concern will be the absence of Josh Smith, the sophomore shortstop, who has a back injury and is going to be out, Jordy, for 4 to 6 weeks, and who knows about back injuries, but a minimum of 4 weeks. And then he's under orders not to do anything, so there'll be a ramping up period again when he's physically able to play. So that's going to be a hole that needs to be plugged at shortstop. Hal Hughes is very capable defensively. He's probably LSU's best defensive infielder at three positions, second base, shortstop, and third base. So he'll do quite well at the defensive side of it, but we'll have to see if he can hit as well as Josh Smith.
He is Lynn Rollins, the play-by-play voice for so many things involving LSU, the SEC Network Plus. And I'm always curious, because we've never talked about this before, but when did Lynn Rollins decide that sports and play-by-play was going to be his vocation and his calling?
Well, I had a dual track growing up. I majored in print journalism at Northwestern State University. I've got a master's degree in journalism from LSU that I was able to obtain some years later. But, it's a difficult task to make a living in sports broadcasting. And so it was always a very passionate second job of mine, and I was fortunate to be able to do it on a part-time basis in a variety of capacities, both for radio and television. At some point, Jordan, if you had to put a date on it, it would probably be 1994, where when I decided it was easier to talk than type, and was able to make a go of it as a full time freelancer. There are challenges in that. There are rewards in that, and certainly the advent of Jumbo Sports Network and Ronnie Rantz college baseball on television for the very first time in the country. And of course, as you well know, it wouldn't have happened any place but LSU. That was a fortunate convergence for me. And then the advent of Cox Sports Television in 2003 was a fortunate affiliation as well. So that's kind of the abridged version, but it's always been a dual track, and I can recall, I'm sure like you, as a youngster, with a tube type radio. Now, you never knew what that was, but I do. And listening to clear channel stations from across the country and considering it magic that you could listen to ball games from Minneapolis and Detroit and Pittsburgh, and Denver and St. Louis. That's really what ignited the interest in me.
Lynn Rollins, if you had to pick one, you've done them all. If you had to pick one sport, if the good Lord said, Lynn, you can only do one sport and you can do it for the rest of your life, what's your favorite sport to call?
Well, of the big three, probably baseball. I umpired baseball for 30 years. I played it, certainly not at the college level, but grew up playing it. And I would say baseball. It allows you to develop stories. It allows you to develop a radio family because there are so many games. Baseball in small-town America in the minor leagues is an interesting experience, and I've done that for several years in the Texas League and independent leagues. So to answer your question in short fashion, baseball, but I really do. There's a lot of close runner-ups, and football is there, of course. Basketball is there, of course, and I'll tell you what, it's really a hoot to do gymnastics too. I don't have the expertise, I know good routines when I see them, just because of the awesome nature of the sport. And when you've got good colleagues sitting next to you to explain what a flying uchinko is, then that helps.
He is Lynn Rollins. I can't thank you enough for your time. We look forward to your calls of the game this weekend on the SEC Network Plus, LSU, Texas. Thank you, Lynn. Take care, buddy.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, my friend. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Well, the NBA All-Star break is over and action is resuming. It's now basically a college basketball season. The race to the finish line and seeding possibilities, tanking possibilities, all kinds of things going out there as the NBA continues to provide us with all kinds of things to talk about. So no one better to join in with us than Grant Hughes, the feature writer of the NBA for Bleacher Report. Grant, hope you had a relaxing All-Star break, and thanks for coming on board. How are you?
I'm doing great. I feel refreshed because I took Twitter off my phone over the break because I knew there were no games I had to pay attention to. So I'm ready to go now. I'm ready for the games to count.
What's the biggest storyline for you? What are you looking forward to the most as we head down this this precarious slope to the playoffs?
It's all about the playoff seeding, which is a big story, right? Just kind of how it's going to shake out. It's a mess in both conferences, really, from like 3 to, you know, you want to go all the way to 10 in the West. Everybody's close. You know, you could see the Spurs drop out. You could see the Jazz be the third seed. And in the East, it's kind of similar between 3 and 8. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out and kind of what our playoff matchups are going to look like, because, you know, right now I'd hate to try to guess what that's going to be in 2 months.
A lot of things going on off the court. Adam, I finally know what $600,000 sounds like in the NBA, and that's Mark Cuban admitting that he talked to his team about the best option for our team right here and now is to lose games. And he got slapped pretty hard.
I hate that. I don't understand. To me, it's this really hypocritical approach because, you know, several teams are tanking. And that's fine. The NBA doesn't have a problem with it. But when you speak honestly about it, that's when there's an issue. And I just don't like that as a standard. I get it. The NBA cares about appearances, but it's Cuban, so Cuban's got this long history of being fined. I think they're less patient with him than they'd be with another owner.
So that's a factor. But to me, I just don't like the idea of when an executive or an owner or a coach or a player or whatever talks about something everybody knows to be true, and that's what triggers the fine. I think you should be punishing behavior if that's the issue. Don't punish the frank talk about what's actually happening.
I agree with you 1,000%. Speaking about players, tell me what you know about what's going on in San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard, Greg Popovich. For a team that seems to never have any issues whatsoever, this thing with this thigh situation, what's going on here?
Well, this is the thing. So Leonard, Greg Popovich said yesterday that he'd be surprised if Leonard played this season, which I guess isn't that big of a revelation, just considering how long this injury has lingered and how sort of little information we've gotten and how strange it is. This is the thing about the Spurs, though. They're wired so tight that they're the most leak-proof organization in the league. If this were going on with another team, we would have gotten so many more reports beyond that, the little mention of, you know, there's some tension between Leonard and the organization. We would have seen and heard so much more. So we don't know what the extent of, you know, this rift is. To me, this feels really bad. This feels really awkward. It feels very un-Spurs-like. So it's a huge concern to me because something just feels off about this whole situation. And maybe we'll learn what that is. Maybe Leonard wants out. This is pure speculation. I don't know this to be true. But there's something very un-Spurs that's going on that's kind of unsettling.
I certainly am of the opinion, just reading between the tea leaves, that he does want out, that maybe he doesn't trust what San Antonio was doing with him as far as the injury was concerned, and he's gone to other opinions. It just doesn't – to your point, it's just not Spur-like. I'll be very curious to see what's his contract situation.
He can become a free agent as early as the summer of 2019. So – I mean, and we're speculating again, if it's a situation where the Spurs have got to move him, they're losing leverage by the second. You know, you don't want to be trying to trade a guy who you know and everyone else knows wants out and who doesn't have a lot of time left on his deal. It's hard to get fair value for that. I think I'd be surprised if it got that far to the point where they start shopping him. But it's crazy to think that that's kind of maybe in play, just because this doesn't add up. There's something we don't know, and I don't think it's good.
I'm with you. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report. Did you have a good time? Did you enjoy the All-Star experience? Did you like the new little tweaks that they came up with?
Well, I think most people would say it was one of the more successful All-Star weekends in a while. It's not perfect. I think everybody agrees we want to see the actual teams picked on the floor before the game, and I think we're going to get that, you know, as soon as next year. But you know, that added some competitiveness. The bonuses to the winners added competitiveness, and I think you know, you thought the All-Star game came down to a defensive sequence on the final possession.
Yes.
So I mean, when's the last time we ever said that? I think as a whole, a lot of things went right for the weekend, and you know, anytime there's something that everybody seems to agree needs fixed on Adam Silver's watch, it kind of gets fixed, which is pretty impressive to me.
During the All-Star break, Anthony Davis sat down with a reporter and talked about his career, talked about his stay in New Orleans, talked about the fact that he thought that he and Boogie Cousins were playing at such a level and starting to get so comfortable with one another that if they had gotten into the playoffs, he thought they could get to the NBA Finals. I'm like, what? Anthony, what are you talking about? What was that?
Confidence is a powerful thing. I suspect he really believes that. And I suspect, you know, if you ask a player on almost any team with a shot at the playoffs, they would, you know, that's how you get to this level, is this confidence that just defies rationality. I mean, if they have been both healthy, maybe they scare somebody in the first round or depending on who they get. But no, the finals isn't realistic. I was taken by another piece of that interview where he talked about You know, he thinks sometimes about someone like Kevin Garnett regretting not yes. asking for a trade before he did. And to me, that's another situation where I think we're blowing that out of proportion because, you know, of course Davis has thought about that. Anyone in his situation would, and all he's doing is being honest about it. So I don't know if that changes anything in terms of, like, oh, how likely he is to stay or go or whatever. But I'm sure no Pelicans fan wanted to hear that. But I don't think it's as big a deal as it's being made out to be, just because, of course he's thinking about that. Who wouldn't be, you know?
Right. It seems to me the injury to Cousins would help solidify bringing both of them, having both of them back again next year, so they could hopefully get an 82-game schedule under their belt and see what they could do in the playoffs. Am I naive for thinking that?
Well, I think the injury, it has to drive Cousins' value down, and so that certainly makes it easier for the Pelicans to keep him. I mean, it's also hard for me to believe that Cousins will return to the level he was at just because that injury, it just doesn't happen. That doesn't mean he can't still be an all-star, but I think it's unrealistic to expect he'll be as good as he was this past year. All told, I think it's more likely we see them together for a while now. I just wonder if we've actually already seen them play their best together just because of the injury.
I'm with you. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report. You think it's, you know, Steve Kerr, is he sitting back in the quiet recesses of his home going, this is just what I wanted. The Rockets are a half a game ahead of us. We needed a wake-up call right before the All-Star break. This is perfect, and here we go. Or am I naive to think that as well?
No, you know what? Maybe this will surprise you. But I think it's hard to say. I think he's a little worried. And I think it's reasonable for him to be a little bit worried. And that's because Houston right now, to me, looks better and more dangerous than any Western Conference team the Warriors have seen in this run. And I think Oklahoma City scares them. And I think there's this stretch of bad basketball for the Warriors has gone on. And they just haven't looked this bad at any point. And they're tired, and they're really confident, and so it's easy to just coast. But I don't think Kerr would have talked about how, you know, the team it's not listening to him anymore, and that's why he tried the thing in Phoenix where he let the players coach. I don't think this means the Warriors should not be title favorites. I do think it means that this is a new level of challenge that they're facing in this run. I think other than an injury, this is kind of the biggest concern just because the competition's better. And, you know, you have three extended postseasons. Eventually you're just going to lose some focus. And so I think it's reasonable for him to be worried about them getting it back in these last, you know, 20-something games.
In this run of the Warriors, is this the worst bench that they have had collectively?
It's the worst shooting bench, that's for sure. I mean, the great myth about this team is that they've got tons of shooters. Really, they have three, and they're all in the starting lineup. It's Curry, Thompson, and Durant. Nick Young is their best shooter off the bench, but he's kind of unplayable just because defensively he gives up more than he gets. And so they're really hurting offensively. These bench offenses struggle all the time. And I don't know how they fix that. They didn't really make a move. Maybe there's a buyout guy out there. I don't know who that is. But that's a real concern. And it's one they haven't addressed so far.
Because Houston sure can do it. They've got a lot that can do it. I'm still amazed how Mike D'Antoni has put this thing together and how it's worked. I mean, their offense, they just shoot threes, and they shoot more threes and deeper threes than anybody else. And they play that numbers game with you, and they have been really remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, they are the best boring offense I think we've ever seen, because it is kind of boring, because they just spread the floor and have a guy isolate or pick and roll and beat his guy and either finish or find a shooter, and over and over and over again. And it's just demoralizing to a defense, because they'll get up 50 threes in a game. And if they make, you know, 18 of them, they probably win. They've really gamed the system. They've exploited the numbers. And they have the personnel to really just make that work.
I'd still like to see how James Harden performs in a playoff series that really matters because he kind of bowed out last year. Chris Paul's postseason history is kind of similar with the added thing of he tends to break down physically in the playoffs. So those are the questions for Houston in terms of what they can do on the floor when they're right. They're just really scary. They could beat anybody.
Man, they really are. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report. In the East, have you reconsidered, and is Cleveland your choice to come out of the East again, or is it too small of a sample size to date?
Oh, I can tell you, I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but I'm close. I just think that in addition to the trade getting Cleveland just a whole new rotation that's better, they basically traded for the good version of LeBron James because he's re-engaged. And I think that matters more than anything else. And if he's fully engaged and he's got decent talent around him, which I think is fair to say he does now, the Cavs are great. I don't know if they can flip the switch for these final, 20-some-odd games. I think they still have a lot of kind of coast in them. But in a playoff series, I mean, I like them better than anybody in the East other than maybe Toronto. Toronto has been so good this year. But I think if I'm betting on it now as I talk myself through it, I don't know if I pick Toronto to beat the Cavs in a conference finals. I just don't. I think Cleveland has really just kind of turned things around in a really meaningful way.
Toronto's kind of like Chris Paul, James Harden, until they prove it, can you bet against LeBron? Who is the one key piece of all those new players that you really think makes Cleveland all the better? Is it Hood? Is it Nance? Is it Clarkson? Who is the one guy, do you think?
I think they're all kind of on a similar level, but the guy that, if he plays sort of as the best version of himself, that to me makes the biggest difference is actually George Hill. Because he's the guy that you would sort of create in a lab to be the point guard alongside James, which is to say that he doesn't need the ball. He's a low mistake guy. All he does is hit open catch and shoot threes and defend ones and twos. And so he really gives the Cavs exactly what they didn't have in the rest of their backcourt. So if he, and certainly he hasn't been good for the Kings this year, but I think that's more the environment than anything else. If he can be the George Hill of 2 years ago or before that with the Pacers, that's a real weapon because you've got a guard in the playoffs and he can defend ones and twos because he's long and he's smart. I really like what he brings. Nance is scary too as a lob threat because the Cavs really don't have a guy who rolls and just jumps over everybody to dunk.
Right.
They haven't had that. So he's big too.
So, safe to say there are four legitimate teams that have a chance to win it all. Any more?
I think four is the right number, and I actually don't include Boston in that. I think they're a cut below Toronto, Cleveland, Houston, and Golden State. I think it's down to those four, and it's really tough for me to even go beyond that because everybody else has got the Spurs are the third seed in the West, but they're not going to have Leonard. So what are they really going to do?
Right. I don't want to play Oklahoma City. I can tell you that. They scare me.
Yeah. I mean, they're like 3-7 over their last 10, and I'm just no less terrified of what they could do in a playoff series.
Right.
They have a ceiling, I think, that's probably higher than all the Warriors and the Rockets. I think that's fair to say, at least in the West.
It's okay, because next year they're going to reseed everything, unless LeBron is running the league. He says, let's not get too crazy. Are you in favor of reseeding?
Yeah, I am. I think it makes sense. I just think if the travel issue is a concern, like if you get a Portland Boston first round series or something, that's a huge disadvantage to both of those, to whoever advances, because they're just going to be gassed after flying across the country. But I think potentially you look at going back to a 2-3-2 format instead of 2-2-1-1-1, because then you got fewer travel days that way. Uh-huh. There are ways around it. But in general, it makes a lot of sense to me. I want the 16 best teams. I want the finals to be the two best teams. I think that hasn't always been true.
I'm with you. He is Grant Hughes. I could talk forever, but we're out of time. We thank you as always. Now get back to work. Get back on Twitter, okay?
You got it.
All right. Thank you very much. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report, talking the NBA Pelicans back in action on Friday. We'll take a break. Come back with more here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. All right, welcome back, kiddos. Finishing touches to the program. Special thanks to John Brady for coming on board, Lynn Rollins as well, and always fun talking NBA hoops with my main man, Grant Hughes of Bleacher Report. That's fun, fun stuff. Hope you enjoyed it half as much as we did bringing it to you. So, SEC football media days, yes, indeed, Monday, July 16th. Mark it on your calendar. It's not that far off. LSU, July 16th, SEC Football Media Days. Holy cow. They go on day one. Day one. Get it over with. All right, let's talk about a little history lesson today and what a day it was. Earlier today, we talked about it. The USA Women's Olympic hockey team won gold as they beat Canada. Canada had won four straight Olympic gold medals. And the USA put an end to that, a very prolific upset in women's hockey. Well, it was on this day, February 22nd, 1980. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, the U.S. ice hockey team, composed exclusively of amateur players, stunned the defending gold medalist from the Soviet Union at the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. What a movie, right? Kurt Russell with the speech. Oh, that was terrific. What a great day in sports history. Today, February 22nd, back in 1980. Mike Eruzione, amongst others. Where were you when that happened? I remember exactly where I was. Some of you may be too young for that, but that was unheard of. That was like, no, that can't possibly happen, but it did. So you never know. Birthday wishes. If today, the 22nd day of the second month, is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share with the likes of New Orleans Pelicans point guard Rajon Rondo, who is 32 years old today. The doctor, Julius Irving. Dr. J is 68 and still looks like he can wheel, deal, and deliver. And for the Oakland Raiders, pretty darn good defensive player Khalil Mack is 27 years old today. So, again, special thanks to all of our guests. Tomorrow, Bob Marlin. Will he have win number 500 under his belt as they take on Troy tonight? Try to wrap up at least a share of the Sun Belt Conference basketball title. Cajun's going to get it done. We'll have Bob Marlin on tomorrow. We'll preview LSU versus Texas in baseball and much, much more. CD, thank you. Job well done as always. To all of you for listening, we thank you to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Man, God bless you. We have only one Thursday, February 22nd. Have a great afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. I know who I want to take me home.